Good morning. And it is really a good morning. Isn't that a beautiful day? We've had wonderful weather all week, and all of you are bright and fresh and happy, I can see from your faces. And I trust our consideration of the Lord this morning will increase our joy and blessing. We've been thinking of some of the attributes of God during this week, and we thought of a couple of attributes that are closely related. The attribute of His eternity, and the attribute of His immutability, that He doesn't change. And our consideration today and tomorrow, and we're going to take 2 days over it, is the subject of His faithfulness, which is related to both of these previous subjects, but is a separate attribute, the faithfulness of God. We're going to turn for our reading, our first reading anyway, to the 89th Psalm, Psalm 89. Let's read just a few verses from this psalm. When we read in Psalm 139 on the Lord's Day, we noticed that that was a psalm of David. And yet, 2 days ago, when we read in Psalm 90, we noted that that was a psalm of Moses, the servant of God, or the man of God. And now we come to Psalm 89, and we have as our title for this psalm, Maskil, or the teaching of Ethan the Israelite. So the writer of this psalm was neither David, nor Moses, nor was it Asaph. It was a man called Ethan, the Ezraite. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen, I have sworn unto David my servant. Thy seed will I establish forever, and build up thy throne to all generations, Selah. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness around about thee? The Lord will surely bless his word to our hearts. Let's bow for a moment in prayer and ask his guidance through this hour. O God, our Father, we have read from thy word. We are conscious that we need the direction and wisdom of thy Spirit to understand it aright. We pray that thou wilt guide us. Help us to learn wondrous things today out of thy law concerning thyself. Challenge and cheer and refresh each of our hearts. For we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Faithfulness is not a quality that earns high marks or wins top prizes or receives great praise among men. As a matter of fact, unfaithfulness is one of the characteristics of our society as we live in the world today. Unfaithfulness characterizes families. The high and soaring divorce rate is just one evidence of the unfaithfulness spouse to spouse. And not only is it between husband and wife, but unfaithfulness often characterizes relations between parents and children. And we are in a society where many parents are unfaithful to their children, and many children become unfaithful to their parents. And not only is unfaithfulness a characteristic of families, unfaithfulness is seen in business. Business is characterized in many parts of our society by dishonesty and falsehood and corruption, unfaithfulness. Unfaithfulness is also a characteristic of politics. I don't know so much about politics here in the United States, except the little we read about it in Canada, but I can tell you that unfaithfulness characterizes politics in the countries I've been to. We had an election last year, as you had, of course, too, and at all elections, many promises are made. Now, the promises of politicians are like pie crust. there need to be broken. And already some of the promises that were made in Canada last year have been broken. Unfaithfulness characterizes politics. And unfaithfulness characterizes international relations amongst men. How easy it is to make a covenant and a treaty. How much more easy it is to break it. Covenants and treaties are really more easily broken than they are made. In such a world of unfaithfulness, how good is it to know that the governor, the ruler of this universe, is a faithful God. I don't know of any attribute of God that should bring more confidence and more encouragement and more assurance and more security to the people of God than the attribute of his unfaithfulness. We have a great God. We often sing about his greatness. We sing, great God of wonders, all thy ways display thine attributes divine. We sing, great is God. God, how great thou art. And of course, what we are singing is what the scriptures have expressed. The psalmist in Psalm 145 begins by saying, great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. That greatness of God applies to every one of his attributes. He is great in all his attributes. In that same Psalm 145, the psalmist speaks about his great goodness. And in Psalm 103, he speaks about his great mercy. As the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. In Ephesians chapter 2, we read about his great love wherewith he loved him. And the prophet Jeremiah, in a verse that we're going to look at, Lamentations 3 and 23, says, great is thy faithfulness. God is great in his faithfulness. And that's what we're going to consider this day and tomorrow morning in the will of the Lord. The great faithfulness of God. It's interesting to note that many of the writers of the Bible, both in the Old and the New Testament, write about the faithfulness of God. I'm sure you would notice as we read these verses together how frequently Ephraim the Ezraite spoke about the faithfulness of God. David also wrote about it in Psalm 36 and verse 5. David wrote, thy faithfulness reacheth unto the sky. We'll be considering a few verses in the course of our study in Psalm 119. We are not told who the writer of Psalm 119 is, that longest chapter in the Bible. Many people believe that Daniel was the writer of Psalm 119, and there is probably good reason for suggesting the writer Daniel. Whoever it was, he too was impressed with the faithfulness of God. He said, thy faithfulness is unto all generations. And as we've seen, Jeremiah in the book of Lamentations wrote about the faithfulness of God. So you can see there was David, and there was Ephraim, and there was the writer of Psalm 119 and Jeremiah the prophet. They were all impressed with the faithfulness of God. But not only the Old Testament, but also the New Testament writers were concerned with the faithfulness of God. Paul often wrote, God is faithful. And we'll look at some of these God is faithful sayings. God also, and Paul also wrote, his faithfulness will remain sure. He said, Though we don't believe in him, he remaineth, he abideth faithful. And Peter wrote in 1 Peter about our faithful Creator. And the writer to the Hebrews wrote, he is faithful that promised. So you see, through all the New Testament writers, the writers combined to proclaim the faithfulness of God. And so this is a great subject that we're going to consider. And we're going to consider it together in these two mornings, under four important heads. We've heard of the three M's. We're going to think of the four M's of God's faithfulness. First of all, we're going to think of the magnitude of God's faithfulness. And then we're going to think of the meaning of the faithfulness of God. And then we're going to consider the manifestation of God's faithfulness. And tomorrow morning, we'll think of the motivation of the faithfulness of God. So these are the pegs on which we are going to hang our study of the faithfulness of God. But first of all, let's think of the magnitude of God's faithfulness. The prophet Jeremiah said, "Great is thy faithfulness." And the psalmists and the other writers of the Word of God proclaim how great is the faithfulness of God. First of all, the psalmists declare that God's faithfulness is great in its dimension. Let's look at what we've read in Psalm 89 and verse 2, the end of the verse, the last half of the verse. "Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heaven." God's faithfulness is great in its dimension. The psalmist David said, "Thy faithfulness reach up unto the sky." In other words, God's faithfulness is not only on the surface of the earth, and that would be great enough, but God's faithfulness reaches to the skies and beyond them, in the very heavens, in every sphere where beings exist. God is a faithful God. He is faithful even to the demons of hell, because he is faithful in his judgment as well as in his mercy. God's faithfulness is great in its duration. But secondly, God's faithfulness is great in its great in its dimension, it's great in its duration. Great in its duration. Let's notice again what the psalmist says in verse 1 of Psalm 89. He says, "With my mouth I will make known thy faithfulness to all generations." Now we can read that little phrase in two ways. We can read it this way: "I'll make known to all generations thy faithfulness." And of course that's true. The psalmist made it known to his own generation. But we have read it in our generation. And many other generations have read Psalm 89, and they've found the same message, the message of God's faithfulness, has been made known to their generations as well. But I believe what the psalmist really meant was that "I'll make known to God's faithfulness to all generations." And certainly that's what the writer of Psalm 119 meant when he wrote, "Thy faithfulness is to all generations." God was faithful to the generation at the very beginning of history, the generation of Adam and Eve. And God is faithful to the generations of all men, from Abraham, through Moses, through David, through Daniel, through the New Testament, right to our day. God's faithfulness endures to all generations. It's not only great in its dimension, it's great in its duration. And then thirdly, God's faithfulness is great in its distinction. Let's notice verse 8. "O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee?" God's faithfulness distinguishes God from all others, from all other beings. Just as all the attributes of God mark God out as distinct, his faithfulness marks him out as distinct. There is no other like him. It is unique and incomparable, as all the other attributes of God are. The faithfulness of God is great in its dimension. It's great in its duration. It's great in its distinction. Now secondly, let's consider, what does it mean when we say God is faithful? When we sing that beautiful hymn, "Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father," what really are we saying when we say God is faithful? To understand this, we have to know a little of the meaning of the word that's used, that's translated faithful, both from the Hebrew in the Old Testament and from the Greek in the New Testament. I'm not going to give you a lesson in Hebrew and Greek today because I'm not equipped to do that. I don't really know Hebrew and Greek, but I've studied these words a little. And I know, for instance, that the Hebrew word that's translated Greek, that's translated faithful, it's a word that means reliable, it means secure, it means trustworthy, it means certain. In fact, it's the same word, really, basically, as the word amen. Now, you know that the word amen is a word that is international. They know it in the different parts of the world, in all different languages. It's the same word, amen. And amen really means truly, truth. When the Lord Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you," he was saying, "Amen, amen, I say unto you." It's a word that expresses truth. So in the Hebrew language, the word faithful means certainty, reliability, security, truthfulness. That's the meaning of the word in the Hebrew. When we come to the Greek in the New Testament, we discover that the word translated faithful is the same as the word translated faith. And it means can be trusted. It's trustworthy. It expresses the trustworthiness of the person who is faithful. And so with these two words from Hebrew and Greek, we can frame a definition of the faithfulness of God. And here is my definition of the faithfulness of God. The faithfulness of God is that attribute of God of stability, of reliability, of security, of trustworthiness that gives us perfect assurance to trust God in every circumstance and in all situations of life. Let me repeat that because it's very important. The faithfulness of God is that characteristic, that attribute of reliability and stability and security and trustworthiness that gives us, His creatures, His people, absolute and perfect assurance to trust Him in all situations, in every circumstance of life. We can trust Him. Now that attribute of faithfulness is manifested in different ways. And so we come to our third aim, and the third aim is the manifestation of God's faithfulness. And we're going to think of some of the ways in which God's faithfulness is manifested. As a matter of fact, we're going to think of four P's to demonstrate the faithfulness of God. First of all, God's faithfulness is manifested in His providence, that is, maintained. I suppose the verse that most people know and associate with faithfulness in the Bible is the verse, "Great is thy faithfulness." Great is thy faithfulness. I suppose the reason we associate that verse is because we sing about it. We also sing Psalm 89 and 1, but we probably don't know it so well, because we probably sing "Great is thy faithfulness" more often. Now, I suppose many people, I'm excluding present company here when I say this, many people who sing "Great is thy faithfulness" don't know that they're quoting the words of Scripture. And many people who do know they're quoting the words of Scripture when they sing that beautiful chorus, don't know which part of Scripture they're quoting. And many people who know that that quotation comes from the middle of the book of Lamentations don't know the background or the circumstances in which that phrase was originally penned. And so we're going to turn over to the book of Lamentations and look at it in the context of the book of Lamentations. Let's turn to Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations, of course, is the Lamentations of Jeremiah. It occurs immediately after the book of Jeremiah. Lamentations 3, let's look at verse 22. "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." There it is. Lamentations 3 and verse 23. Who wrote that? Well, I'm sure we all realize that this book is the book of Jeremiah. Not all people recognize this book as Jeremiah's book. I think there's unmistakable evidence that Jeremiah was the writer of the book of Lamentations. But what circumstances were they in which Jeremiah wrote this verse? I think it's very important that we recognize the circumstances. As Jeremiah wrote this book of Lamentations, he was sitting or standing or whatever in the ruins of his beloved city. The city of Jerusalem was devastated. For some years before, it had been exposed to the Babylonians. In fact, all the Judean countryside and all the other cities of Judea had been taken by the Babylonians. For a year or two, Jerusalem itself was besieged by the armies, the vicious, cruel armies of the Babylonians. And ultimately, the city of Jerusalem fell. And ultimately, the Babylonians came into that city. They not only took away most of its inhabitants, but they destroyed most of its buildings. And included among the buildings that they destroyed viciously was the building that Jeremiah revered, the beautiful, magnificent temple. And Jeremiah saw the ruins of it. In fact, he spoke about the ruins. Let's turn briefly to chapter 4 and verse 1. You'll notice how this verse begins. It begins how. The book begins how, and there are three chapters that begin how. In the Hebrew language, the title of this book is the Hebrew for how. In fact, this book could be called the Book of How. How? How, said Jeremiah, is the gold become dead? What gold? Well, it was the gold of the temple. How is the most fine gold changed? The stones of the sanctuary are poured out in the top of every street. And so Jeremiah, as he looks at the ruins of his beloved city, as he looks at the ruins of that beautiful, magnificent temple, he lifts his pen and he writes about it in this book of Lamentation. I'm going to ask you, how would you have felt if you were in Jeremiah's shoes? Here you are in the city that once was your city. It's destroyed. You look at your famous church, your temple, the place where God is honored and worshipped, and it's in ruin. All your friends are either killed or in exile, and you are left there, as Jeremiah was. In a little while he was going to be exported against his will to Egypt. But at the moment he's still in the city and in the ruins of Jerusalem. Let me ask you, what would you have done? I suppose most of us, if not all of us, would have sat down in the ruins of Jerusalem, and we would have wept. We would have shed tears. That's exactly what Jeremiah did. He's called a weeping prophet, and not without reason. In the book of Jeremiah, we read about him weeping on several occasions. And this book is the book of lamentations, the book of weeping. This records the grief, the lamentation of Jeremiah as he looks upon his city, all in ruin. And he tells about that desolation. But right in the very heart of the book, almost dead center, not quite, but almost dead center in this book, he pens these durable words that we have read. You can't understand how it is that he could pen such words as these. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. What do you think was going through Jeremiah's mind as he wrote that? Well, I think it was something like this. Everything else is destroyed. The other people are in exile or they're dead. Here am I. I'm still alive. Why am I still alive? It's of the Lord's mercy that I'm still alive. And every morning I see the sunrise. And every morning I feel the warmth of that sun. Every day I know that God's mercies are new. His compassion fail not. And he lifts up his voice in praise and worship. And he says, O God, great is thy faithfulness. And in the midst of desolation, Jeremiah thinks of his blessing. And he says, great is thy faithfulness. Now, however sad your sorrow, however desperate your plight, however catastrophic your crisis, they cannot begin to compare with Jeremiah's situation. And so in whatever circumstances we find ourselves, we should be able to say too, great is thy faithfulness. The very recurrence of light, morning by morning, whether we see the sun or not, we know that it's there because light comes. And we should recognize that it's because of God's faithfulness that we're still here. It is of thy mercies that we are not consumed. And the sunrise every morning, and the falling of a ray, and all the evidences of God's providence are evidences also of God's faithfulness. Whether we think of it in a daily basis or a yearly basis, we can lift our gratitude and praise to God and say, great is thy faithfulness. The psalmist in Psalm 68 said, the Lord daily loadeth us with benefits. Every day we have his benefits. And in Psalm 65 he says, thou crownest the year with thy goodness. So whether we think of it on a daily basis or a yearly basis, we have the benefits of God. What would happen if the sun didn't come up some morning? Someone has tried to depict a picture of the sun not rising. His name was Henry Porter, and here is what he wrote. 6 o'clock came on this particular morning, and there was no sign of dawn. At 7 o'clock, there was still no ray of light. At noon, it was as black as midnight, and no bird sang. There was only the hoot of the owl and the swoop of the bat. Then came the dark hours of the black afternoon. No one slept that night. Some wept, some wrung their hands in anguish. Every church was thronged to its doors with people on their knees. Thus they remained the whole night through. In the morning, millions of eager, tear-wet faces turned toward the east. When the sky began to grow red, and the sun rose once more, there was a shout of great joy. Now millions of lips said, bless the Lord, O my soul. What a tragedy it would be if the sun didn't rise. But the very fact that the light shines each morning and the sun rises is evidence of the faithfulness of God. God's faithfulness is manifest in his providence. Summer and winter, and springtime, and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. And another hymn writer has said, thy bountiful care, note what tongue can recite. It breathes in the air, it shines in the light. It streams from the hills, it descends to the plain, and sweetly distills in the dew and the rain. Great is thy faithfulness. And God's faithfulness is seen in the maintenance of his providence day by day, month by month, year by year. It's all the same. But there are other evidences of God's faithfulness. Let's turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, as you know, is the longest chapter in the Bible. It has 176 verses, 22 8-verse stanzas, and there are many themes, but the one theme that encompasses all the themes is the theme of the Word of God. There's hardly a verse in this psalm, maybe just 2 or 3 verses, but has the theme the Word of God. Let's read one of the verses that doesn't seem to have that theme, and yet it's obvious that it's related to it. Psalm 119, let's look at verse 86. 86. Well, this verse has the word of God. All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me. Verse 138 says, thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. Look at verse 75. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Verse 71. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. You see how these verses contain a reference to the Word of God. The one we are going to look at is verse 86. All thy commandments are faithful. Thy testimonies are faithful. In other words, God is not only faithful in his providence, God is faithful in his precepts. The commands that God has given to us in the pages of his word are the evidence of his faithfulness. He is utterly reliable and truthful. Now, we all live in lands where there is a government. And there is a government of the municipality and of the state and the federal government of the nation. We live in that kind of government and that kind of country also in Canada. And we know in Canada, I can't speak for the state, but we know that the commands and the laws that are propounded by government are not necessarily faithful. And they're not necessarily done for the benefit of the people. They are done very often for the benefit of the government, especially when it comes close to another election. We can be sure that the laws that are enacted are with a view to being re-elected in the next election. They are not necessarily faithful. But we know that whatever God commands, whatever precepts he has, are for the good of those to whom he commands them. Not only for his glory, but for our very good. And therefore, we should be prepared to obey God's commandment, to believe his word, and to give heed to his precepts. God is faithful in his precepts. I'm going to ask you, have you read his word today, apart from this morning, as we've read it in this service? Do you read his word every day? And do you find in the pages of his book a precept, morning by morning, some command that he gives you to obey? You can be sure that that command is there, not simply to satisfy God who gave it, but to bless you as you obey it. God's commandments are faithful. He is faithful in his precepts. He is worthy of our trust and our obedience. And thirdly, God's faithfulness is manifested not only in his providence and not only in his precepts, but it's manifested in his promises that he fulfilled, in the fulfillment of his promise. Let's come to one verse in the book of Deuteronomy, in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 7, Deuteronomy 7 and verse 9, and Moses is speaking to the people from the Lord as they're on the edge of the promised land. They're about, when Moses died, very shortly, to cross the River Jordan under the leadership of Joshua, and enter into the promised land, and Moses is giving his final exhortation to the people ere they set out on this great mission. And he says in Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 9, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him, and keep his commandments to a thousand generations." God is the faithful God who keeps his covenant, who keeps his promise. Now, in the pages of the Word of God, there are many, many promises that God has given. And we can discover as we read the Word of God that he fulfilled these promises. First of all, there are his promises in history. After Moses spoke these words, not long after he was taken to the top of the mountain, and there he was put, there he died, and there was buried. And Joshua took command over the people, and he led them into the promised land, and you read the story in the book of Joshua. Was God faithful to his promise? Well, at the end of the book of Joshua, you read these words, "They have failed not aught of all that God promised to his people." Everything came to pass. It all came to pass. Sometime later in the history of the people of Israel, King Solomon came to the throne, and in the words of Solomon, "There hath not failed one word of all his good promises." God is faithful in his promises in history. And that goes down in all history. Secondly, God is faithful in his promises in Christ. Through the Old Testament, from the book of Genesis to the book of Malachi, there are many, many promises of the coming of the Messiah, the Redeemer, the Savior. And all these promises were fulfilled to the letter in the life and death of the Lord Jesus. You can recite many of them, I'm sure. And the fulfillment of the promises of God in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus, is another evidence of God's faithfulness. And then there are other promises. Not only those that are fulfilled in history, not only those that are fulfilled in Christ, but those that you and I have experienced in our personal life, and we can say they've been fulfilled. If I were to go around this room this morning and asked you to recite a promise of God's word, I'm sure every one of us could give a promise. And we could say, I've had that promise fulfilled. For example, there is a promise, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Is that fulfilled? Yes, every one of us has experienced that. There's a promise, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. Has that ever failed? It never has. God's people have experienced that promise. God is with us always. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. That promise has never failed. And also the promises that he gives eternal life to everyone that believeth in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And many similar promises. Those of us who have trusted him have found him to be true to his word. He fulfills his promises. If you're here and you've never trusted the Lord, you've never committed your life to him, you've never made him your Lord and Savior, we ask you today to put your trust in him and find that he fulfills all his promises. He fulfills that one. And all of us have experienced the fulfillment of his promises. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. Let us pray. O God, our Father, we thank thee that thou art a God of utter, complete faithfulness. Thou hast never failed. Thy promises have been kept. Thy providence continues. Thy precepts are utterly trustworthy. We thank thee that thy purposes for thy people are sure and good. Help us to appreciate thee more and more. Help us to trust thee day by day. Help us to praise thee for all thy great faithfulness. We thank thee for this day, for the beautiful sunshine, for the warmth, for the fellowship we enjoy, for every provision thou hast made for us. We appreciate it. And Father, we appreciate thee. Help us today to glorify thee. For we ask and give thee thanks. In the name of the Lord Jesus.